the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and those who dwell therein. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We'll keep those two quotes in mind, one from Psalm 24, the other from Galatians 3. The subject of cremation came up this past week, in more than just a theoretical way. So let's discuss it a bit as a midsummer distraction. The Orthodox Church does not approve of and does not bless cremation. Cremation being the burning of a dead body to ashes. Cremate is a Latin word and means just that, no doubt having an old pagan origin, since it is a pagan thing to do. Christians don't cremate because we believe and affirm that both our body and soul belong to God. Our body is not ours to do with it in life as we please, nor to dispose of it in death as we please. We commend our bodies to the natural realities of mortal life. We do not do extra to destroy what God has made in all situations. From the earth we came forth, and to the earth we return by natural processes. The earth is the Lord's, and those who dwell therein. When we say that quote from that line from Psalm 24, the priest takes dirt and pours it over the coffin at the gravesite at burial, in the sign of the cross. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and those who dwell therein are the Lord's, and the body is being returned to the earth from which it came. Now people will say, even believers, that the body is just a container. It's just a container for the soul to be discarded at death. This is pagan, and especially Eastern pagan, who routinely cremate, even in open air, publicly, the dead. The belief that all physical life is to be discounted for the higher spiritual level of life, that the body is a prison for the soul somehow, and indeed, that material life is gross and dark, and only the spiritual part is good, and the soul has to get back to the spiritual reality, that we are pure spirits trapped in the prison of the flesh, to be liberated with the burning up of the body. None of that is Christian. No. Nope. 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 To this St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? That you are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," apostrophe S, "which that both your soul and your body, they're God's possession." They belong to God. St. Paul. I saw it built out in a small town, little church, advertised itself as blood-bought. It was a blood-bought church, which is a reference to Ephesians 1:7, where St. Paul says, in speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, we're bought. We're bought from slavery. We are bought, redeemed, freed from slavery to sin and death by the blood of Christ. The earth is the Lord's and those who dwell therein, and especially those who are baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. We put on Christ, brothers and sisters, both body and soul. The worldly love the body, the fascination with physical beauty, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as St. John refers to it. It loves the body and declares, "It's my body. It's my body, and I'll do what I want with it. And oh, you can buy my birth control for me too." Yes, yes, it loves the body till it no longer has use for it. Cremation is what you do to trash. You burn it up. In incinerators. And in the Nazi concentration camp of Auschwitz, they had ovens there too, didn't they? And others of the camps, didn't they have those ovens to burn up the bodies? So we have some example there, but certainly not one we ought to emulate. Then they give you those ashes, quote unquote. I'm sure they're exactly the same portions of that body, no doubt. Even though there's something happened in Atlanta a few years back, I think, that some of you may recall, at a crematorium. They give you those ashes for you to do whatever you want with them. Whatever you want with them. St. Gregory Palamas says, the soul is not alone. It's not alone the one that receives the pledge of the good things to come. The body also receives it. He who does not say this denies equally the bodily life in the age to come. In other words, if you don't believe that grace touches the body in this life, then you don't believe in the resurrection of the body in the age to come. The body now participates in grace. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, not only spiritually, but bodily as well, and the white robe is the sign of that. And the demoniacs in today's gospel, they were possessed in their bodies. So you can have spiritual reality in your body of one kind or another. Orthodoxy, the Orthodox Christian faith, is a very physical faith as well as spiritual. It is a standing action faith. It is specifically a Eucharistic faith, which is to say, where we meet God physically in food, in a meal. We partake of God, we partake of grace physically through communion, through Holy Communion. Communion as administered by a specific apostolic clergy, connected physically all the way back to the apostles, by who laid hands on who, all the way back to the beginning. So a physical handing down of the priesthood, who gives of the, who offers by the power of God's grace the Holy Eucharist. And we come to a specific physical place, the temple, the church, as a sacred space, and we bow and cross ourselves and make physical gestures using our bodies in prayer and worship, a physical faith. And we dress, and we ought to dress modestly and honorably in the house of the Lord, and indeed outside the house of the Lord as well, in our bodies, with our bodies, to adorn them in an honorable way. The body is both the garment and instrument of the soul. As such, it is not evil, although it can be defiled by the soul through sins against the body. As St. John of the Ladder says, what is this mystery in me? How am I to understand this divine blending of body and soul? Both are parts of our humanity, body and soul together. As St. Gregory says, the body itself also participates in a certain way in the grace which acts according to the Spirit. It enters into harmony with this grace. He refers to how the face of Moses shone with the light of grace after talking to God on the mountain. He also mentions how the face of St. Stephen, the first martyr, appeared as the face of an angel at the time of his martyrdom. And also St. Mary of Egypt, who levitated in her body. There was a monk at St. Tikhon's in Pennsylvania who lived into the 90s, Father Vasily, who was also seen levitating in his body at the altar. We can call to mind how the face of St. Seraphim glowed in his famous conversation with Matovalov. Grace, brothers and sisters, grace, illumining the body, the body's mysterious participation. As St. Gregory says, the body's mysterious participation in the light which transcends the universe. Our participation in light. And so many of the fundamental moral issues meet the response, because your body belongs to God. Therefore, you do not fornicate, because your body belongs to God. You do not abuse substances because your body belongs to God. You do not commit violence because your body belongs to God. The other person's body belongs to God because your body belongs to God, and He has His ways for us, His guidelines for healthy living. A Christ-centered, Eucharistic-centered faith is this faith. When we say Christ is in our midst, it's no mere slogan, but rather it means after communion that Christ dwells in our bodies, in our flesh. Death is the ultimate enemy which Christ came to destroy, that made our bodies mortal. Through the fall, our bodies became mortal. But our mortal bodies are given grace. In the church, brothers and sisters, death is dealt with in a specific and holy way. The bodies of each believer are handled with loving care as if they might be holy relics. And indeed, as if they might indeed be raised and will be raised from the dead on that great day. That's how we understand. That's how we understand death and cremation. While we have a little time, let's talk about marriage as well. People ask, why does the church not permit marriages in certain times of the year? Our faith, again, is a Christ-centered, Christocentric faith. The Holy Fathers, whom we celebrate today at the Ecumenical Councils, all their discussions were centered on Christ, because Orthodoxy is a Christ-centered faith. Christ comes first. Christ comes first. So, in our consideration of our personal celebrations, including weddings, Christ takes first place in our lives. Christ takes first place. Therefore, the wedding guidelines. No Christian weddings on feast days or the eves of feasts. For example, you wouldn't have a wedding on Christmas or on Christmas Eve. Not because it would mess up your Christmas plans, because it's Christ's birthday. It's Christ's day. It belongs to Him. And indeed, in the church, Christ comes first, and the whole festival period from there, the 12 days of Christmas, weddings are not permitted, because those are days to celebrate Christ's birth, up until and through the Theophany, the feast of Christ's baptism. So, for instance, also there's no weddings on August 6th, the Transfiguration of Christ, for the same reasons. It's His day, it's a celebration of Him. Because in the church, Jesus Christ is first. He is first priority. How does Ecclesiastes say it? There's a time for every season under heaven. There's a time for every season under heaven. No weddings on feasts, and no weddings in fasting periods. No weddings in fasting periods, because those times are for us. Those times are for our spiritual focus and a physical benefit for us, for more repentance and less celebrating. It's not good to celebrate all the time. It's not good to celebrate all the time, whenever we want. There's a time for every season. Assuming all this is, if you belong to Christ and are united to Christ in the Holy Eucharist, if you belong to Christ and His church and are seeking His blessing, since Christ performs the marriage through the priest, if you do not belong to Christ, you may do as you please. If you do not belong to Christ, you may do as you please, and your actions express your indifference to Christ. If many outside the church, if you marry outside the church, you marry outside of Christ, because an apostolic priest is not serving the wedding, and therefore it is not a sacrament of the church. It is not. It is a sacrament when Christ is present in the church blessing the marriage. He is the priest of mystical marriage and of all the sacraments. So finally, brothers and sisters, if Christ dwells in you, through baptism in the Eucharist, then weddings and funerals are by the standards and guidelines that Christ has given to His Holy Church. He who is the way, the truth, and the life of us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.